Okay, and we're back. This is Kerry Bowling in the studio today with Amy Pettit from Alaska Farmland Trust with Ag Matters.
Yeah, good morning, Kerry.
Good morning. And I see you've got a guest here with you as well.
We do. It's my pleasure to welcome Margaret Adsit into the studio for Ag Matters this morning. Margaret wears many different hats, and her name is probably familiar to listeners, but today she is here as our FarmLink program coordinator. So welcome, Margaret.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Amy. I'm very excited to be here.
It turns out that this is not your first time on radio, is it?
It isn't. No, I can't lie. I'm an old hat. I used to do a little show called Tech Talks. It was really interesting if you're into technology.
Very good. Very good.
I've heard that show.
I know. I was the layman brought on the show to be like, what are you talking about?
To ask questions.
Yeah, like, I don't get it. Like,
what does that mean?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to play that role today as we talk about FarmLink. But before we jump into that, I just want to give a brief little touch on Farmland Trust and why we have this FarmLink program. So for those of you listening, Farmland Trust is a local nonprofit, 501c3 nonprofit, who works to protect farmland permanently through conservation easements. One of the confusing factors of that, though, is oftentimes people think that we own land, that Farmland Trust owns land. And to date, we don't own any land. So this program that we're about to launch, FarmLink, actually brought in even a little bit more confusion to that system where people think, oh, Farmland Trust has land that they are looking, you know, they're looking for farmers for their land. So I just want to be really clear about that up front, that Farmland Trust doesn't own land. We own development rights and we own conservation easements with landowners. But FarmLink is one of our new programs designed to what? What is it designed to do, Margaret?
It is designed for individuals or landowners who have property that maybe hasn't been in production in years, or they know that has some agricultural value, to voluntarily put a profile up on our website that allows people to either rent or they can sell their property to future farmers or farmers looking to expand their business operations.
I've jokingly called it our dating service a couple of times.
It is. It's a match program. So it's a two-way street. So you can either be a farmland owner or a farmland seeker. And both sides have to put up a profile of who they are. Otherwise, they won't have the option of seeing sort of what land's available or who's looking for land. So it is a perfect dating site.
Yes, yes. And so Farmland Trust cares about this for a number of reasons. Across the country, farmland is being lost daily. There's, you know, a number of acres lost every day to development, to lots of different reasons. And so one of the reasons that we care about matchmaking farmland owners and farmland seekers is to get the next generation of farmers on the property, right? Is that a good description of it?
Precisely. So the number one hindrance to beginning farmers going into farming is, well, there's two. There's financial
access to capital, right?
Yep. So financing and then land access. So for some of us, like Amy and I, where we come from generational farms, that's passed down from generation to generation. But folks looking to get into it, that's a huge capital investment,
right,
to just buy raw land at sort of the fair market value for
it. Which in Alaska is so extraordinary. I don't know how anybody could do it, right?
No, you'd essentially have to come. You either have to come for money, or this has to be a second career, or have a spouse that can supplement sort of the land purchase,
right,
at sort of the values that we're looking at across the state.
Right.
So this is another good option. And it's a common misconception with farmers that all farmers own their land. In fact, across the United States, about 40% of farmland that's in production is actually rented out. Owned by someone else, and the farmer rents it, it's just like you would a regular rental agreement for an apartment or a house. So it's thought generally, oh, I have to own my land first, and that's not the case at all. Most farmers at least have some rented ground.
Yeah, and it's a good way to get your foot in the door, right? I know of a lot of farmers here in the Valley who started out renting a piece of property and then over time built up the capital to then purchase the land, you know, down the road.
Precisely. I mean, you wouldn't want to sort of put $500,000 down and don't know if you actually like being in the business of farming.
Right.
Yeah. So they can try it out first.
Yes. Yeah. Give them a taste of the land. And on the flip side, in many of the boroughs across the state, you can get an ag deferment if you put your land back into production or if it is an agriculture
production. Tax deferment, right?
Yeah, tax deferment on their property taxes. So there is, it's a two-way incentive street for folks. One, it's a way for them to pay taxes by renting out their properties, but it's also a way to reduce your tax base on your property. So for the farmland owner, it is a win-win situation.
Absolutely.
And it's a way with a lot of the farms that we are working with, people are really passionate about agriculture and they don't want to see their property go to a developer. They want to see it continue in production.
Right. Even if they're not ready to go through the conservation easement process mm-hmm. with Farmland Trust, they still want to see their property being farmed. And so this is a great, great option. It's been interesting to me over the decade that I've been working in the ag industry in Alaska. There is this, I think it's a bit of a misconception. There is this conception that land is not available. There's not enough farmland. But it seems like what we're finding as we are seeking landowners for the FarmLink program is that there's quite a bit of land, agriculturally valuable land, that's just kind of laying fallow. Is that what we're finding?
Yeah, so that was shocking to me going in. I thought we'd get sort of these small 2 or 3 acre parcels of people being like, hey, I've got a little property.
Yeah.
But we're getting landowners that sort of on average now, it's like a 200 or 300 acre parcel.
Wow. Yeah.
So we're talking big tracts of land. I mean, we do have some smaller,
sure,
like 10, 15, 20 acre parcels, but huge tract of land. So when we look at the state or across the state in terms of what's available for agricultural land, there is a lot out there. It's just getting and informing people and helping those landowners make those planning decisions about land management, that this is an option, is to put it back into production. And the other part of the work that we do with the FarmLink is assisting them in making sure that their leases that they put together really represent both the farmland seeker and the farmland owner's best interest,
right,
in starting a production farm.
Yeah, we encourage them to have a little bit more formal relationship than just a handshake deal, right?
Yeah, no, it's not hey, I heard about you. You know, can I have your land? No, we want it spelled out, because when you get into agriculture, especially if it's a longer term relationship and you're talking about irrigation systems or putting up hoop houses, those are big investments.
Capital investments, yeah.
And then both parties need to know where everybody is standing on putting up something like a hoop house or putting in, you know, $100,000 irrigation system. That's got to be discussed beforehand so you don't get any bad blood or bad relationships.
Right, because we are trying to do vetting, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we look for our farmland seekers, we are trying to vet them a little bit and make sure that they're not just, you know, a developer in mm-hmm. in a farmer's clothes.
Yeah, exactly. So thank you for mentioning that. So we've got two parts. One, if you're a farmland owner, there's a $20 fee, setup fee, to put your property up there. And on the flip side, if you're a farmland seeker, we ask a $5 a month donation to the Alaska Farmland Trust to gain access to the back end. And the reason we did that is, again, we don't want someone sniffing around who may not have the intention, agricultural intentions, of looking at the ag land available. So they gain access to the back end. So when you go to our site, you're going to be like, wait, what is this?
There's nothing here.
There's nothing here.
Yep.
It's because you have to become a member. And after you get that member, then you can gain access to all of our resources, including the farmland owners who have property for those looking for land.
So that's a good segue. Let's talk about the nuts and bolts for a minute. If mm-hmm. we have someone listening who wants to check this out, where do we send them?
So you're going to go to www.akfarmland.com/farmlink. That's
right.
FARMLINK, all one word.
Right. So if you're cruising around on the regular Alaska Farmland Trust website, there's a link for it, right?
Yeah, in the upper menu from the Alaska Farmland Trust website, you're going to see
a
big button that says FarmLink. And you click on that and it will give you the directions to walk you through.
But again, when you land on that FarmLink page, you don't suddenly see acres available. You have to do a little bit more work with us before you can
And the reason for that is to really protect the landowners and the seekers who are also looking for land. We didn't want there to be sort of all of their contact information, giving out willy-nilly. It's a way for landowners to securely put their property up and know that the people who are coming to the site are really interested in finding agricultural land. And with the monthly subscription, you can unsubscribe. So maybe you find your first month, you find your property, you know, then you don't need us anymore, and that's great. But otherwise, it will charge $5 a month.
And what would be in a profile that would be posted up there? What would be an example of what a profile would be?
So on both sides, it's a very intricate application. It describes the acreage, the tillable acreage, what that farm land owner and or vice versa farmland seeker is looking for on a property. So maybe a farmer doesn't want to have a cattle operation on, or farmland owner doesn't want to have a cattle operation. They can click off on that and say, no, we don't want to have that. But we really want to have berry production. We're looking for long-term berry production on the property. They can describe that. And the farmland owner has the option of describing what the history of the farm is, what are good parts, what the soil types are on the property. They can add pictures. They can load a deed on there. So it's really all-encompassing. So if someone who was looking at a property could look and completely see what that property is about, kind of like how when you go on, is it Zillow?
Zillow.
Zillow.
It's a real estate.
So that it lists everything out. And for the farmland seeker, same thing. We want these individuals to be serious about their farming operation.
Right.
So we want them to have an idea of a business plan going into it, especially if they're new farmers, to sort of say, this is what I want to do on your property. So a farmland owner can feel comfortable and confident in that relationship going into it.
It might seem a little overwhelming, like a lot of questions if for the person filling out the profile. But the point is, you know, we really want to have a thorough description of the property. Mm-hmm. And we want the land seeker to have really thought out what type of property they're looking for. Because not every relationship is going to work, right? Not every piece of land is right for every land seeker.
No, just like a match.com,
exactly.
You know, not two people may not be compatible, and
right.
A landowner and a farmland seeker may not be compatible. And we want to not waste people's time. We want that relationship to start out on the right foot. So if a farmland owner says, I only want organic practices, 20 acres, you can only do vegetable farming. Well, then when someone's looking, they're like, wow, that's a perfect match for me. That's exactly what I want. And you enter into that relationship on the same plane. And then you just, the details can come out of that discussion, but everybody's on that same base relationship.
Right, right.
So it's and we are currently have 9 properties up on the site. So it's not, you know, it's not just conceptual at this point.
Yeah.
It is actual. There are landowners looking for
land seekers.
Yeah, to get out there. So I encourage people who are interested in starting their farm or need acreage to expand on or want to just have those initial discussions with those landowners to get
take
on
a look.
Take a look and get on our website.
I want to point out quickly that this isn't a new concept. Margaret, nor myself, nor anyone at Farmland Trust dreamed this up. This has been done in other states successfully, right? We didn't reinvent the wheel.
No. And we can't call ourselves geniuses or, you know, brainchild. It's not our brainchild by any means. Maine and California have two of the most successful. There's farm links across the country, but the two that we modeled ours after are the California Farm Link and the Maine Farm Link. California Farm Link, I believe in, don't quote me on this, on average, they're linking like 60 to 100 farms a year.
Oh, wow. Mm.
You
That's
know,
great.
And in terms of huge acreage. And
yeah.
Maine Farm Link, how theirs is set up, is a little bit less. It's more like 30 farms. But that's 30 farms of putting land back into agricultural production.
Right.
And, you know, these, for the most part, are small family landowners connecting with small farmers. So we're not talking about big agribusiness. We're talking about mom and pop starting operations that can expand. And, you know, this is economic growth for our communities.
Right. And it's a good site for us to have, you know, our eyes on. This FarmLink was the idea a couple of executive directors ago at Farmland Trust, right? I mean, it's been brewing for a while, right?
Yeah, this was originally mine. Like, hey, I think we should do this. And then I left the Alaska Farmland Trust. And then I came back later. I was like, oh,
it still hasn't been done. Let's do it now.
Let's do it now. Let's go for it.
Unfinished business.
Yeah. But it is great to see, it took quite a while to develop this web database, for the matchmaking. That took a fair amount of time. But it's great to know that we do have property available now. I'm seeing it in, Facebook groups right now. I'm seeing people complain about there's no land available. I can't find land. Well, we have land. We're actively looking for seekers. So let's talk a little bit about that, Margaret. We still want more land owners, right?
We want more land owners, right. And we want farmland seekers, because once folks are in the database, then, we can just continue to build it. But really right now, our focus, now that we've got some landowners, we want farmland seekers. We want the dreamers. We want the planners.
We want to have our first matchmaking.
Yeah.
Right?
Want to be like the matchmaker.
TV.
Yeah. Wear babushka and you're like, it's a perfect match. if there are folks out there who are just want to take the leap or the plunge and just sort of say, yes, this is the time. And really, this is the time.
It's a perfect time of year.
Yeah. You don't want to approach landowners in the summer, especially farmers who are maybe looking to transition out of it. That's a crazy time of year. But now, in the heart of winter, even though it's snowing like, and what's it, cats and dogs? It's snowing really heavy outside right now. That's when you want to be talking about what's...
Well, it's seed catalog time, and it's planning time, and it would be a great time for a person to, find a parcel of property and start talking, because we don't anticipate that these relationships happen overnight. Mm-hmm. Even if a match is made through our system, that doesn't guarantee a relationship happens between landowner and land seeker, right?
Yeah.
We are the guiding step to people finding each other, but then what happens, Margaret?
After you let's say I'm a farmland seeker, I go on the website, I sign up, I find that perfect land.
Dream property.
I then call that landowner or write them a letter. And we've got resources up on the website to help you sort of, what's the first conversation?
I mean, what does that first date look like?
Yeah, I mean, it's like that Tinder, like nobody knows, like, where do you meet up? Is it like at Vagabond? It's like,
oh, that's so funny.
Where's our first location? And what you should be considering to have in your first conversation. So these are, you don't want to go into that conversation blind. You don't want to sort of with your jaw gaping open, mouth breathing about what you want. Like, you should have a plan of action and sort of say,
sure,
This is what I need from a property. These are my long-term goals, midterm and long-term goals for my farming operation. Would this fit? And then that gives the farmland owner a chance to sort of say, yeah, I'm comfortable with this situation. And so we've got a guideline on the website or resources about farmland leases, and we are available to assist people in having those conversations.
Right.
So on both sides, whether you're a farmland seeker or an owner, if you want to sort of sit down and talk with us about, well, this is what I foresee for a property, we can help you discern, what to say in those initial conversations.
Questions that should be asked. But the good news is that folks should feel confident that if they are looking on our website and at those profiles, these landowners have put their profile up. I mean, they are looking for someone. It's not as though you're making a cold call to a property owner as you drive by their field and you think, I'd like to farm that. We know these people want. They're seeking land seekers, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
So that's
most
great.
Definitely. And they are eager. All of the landowners on our list are very, very eager to find someone.
Oh, that's so exciting. Seeking. I didn't realize we were up to 9. I'm really excited to hear that.
Yeah. So there are acres out there. And
this is not a fair question, but
yeah. Do you have a favorite property?
No. Where geographically, can you give us a sense of where the properties
are? It's all over the state.
That's what I wanted you to say.
Yeah. So there's a property up off of Chena Hot Springs Road.
Oh, okay.
There's a giant property in Delta Junction, two properties on Point McKenzie, a property down in Anchor Point.
Very cool.
Another property out in Talkeetna. So, yeah, it's not just about Palmer.
Right. We get that criticism a lot.
This is a statewide thing, and we are continuing to encourage. When we sent out letters and had conversations with folks all over the state, we really wanted that to be an emphasis. We are looking all over the state because, farming has to develop in every corner of the state.
It does.
Feed all of our local communities.
That's right.
Yes, Palmer is a hub and Delta Junction is a hub, but there is agriculture and farming happening
everywhere.
Everywhere from Barrow all the way, you know, down to Juneau.
Yep.
So we want to encourage anyone who has agricultural land. And just as sort of a final point here, if you are a landowner and you're like, yeah, but I only have like two acres.
Yeah.
That is something.
Right.
And, you know, we don't.
We have really successful farmers operating on 2, 3, 5 acres.
Mm-hmm. So don't disregard it. Don't
sure.
sort of say,
good
you know,
point.
Nobody would want this. You know, there might be someone out there who really, really wants it. And that size could be perfect for that.
Yeah, for someone just getting started, we don't necessarily want to throw them onto 300 acres to try something that they've never done before.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
It might be a better idea to start.
And the other thing on those bigger acreages too, you know, have that discussion. Maybe you only need 10 acres
sure.
and then they can rent it out to other people. Like a
sure.
farm isn't just a full parcel. You know, it can, there are other options. And because you're not, unless you're purchasing the property, you know, it doesn't matter what your lease size is in that sense. Just being open with that landowner about what you need and want, I think would be really a great way to start
Absolutely.
That conversation.
Absolutely. Communication is very important.
Yeah. So it's very exciting. So no matter where you are, I don't know how far expansive Cabbage Radio is, but, you know, if you've got friends in other parts of the state who you know have some agricultural grounds and, again, you know, talking about soils, it doesn't mean that you have class one soils because there are none in the state.
That's right.
It can mean just that you've got an open spread of property and
with agricultural potential.
And a lot of our properties aren't fully cleared either.
Okay.
So that's another component. Sort of the Delta Junction property isn't fully cleared,
okay.
but they are willing to rent out the full acreage or sell the full acreage.
Oh, wow.
For that. So
all negotiable, I'm sure. You know, you do some more clearing, price drops, who knows?
Yeah.
Well, let's tell people the nuts and bolts again, that we're actively seeking farmland owners and farmland seekers for our FarmLink program.
Yes.
And they can find us on the website, which again is akfarmland.com/FarmLink. FarmLink. FarmLink. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there's no real end to this, though, too. I want to throw that out. Farmland Trust intends to, we're, you know, launching FarmLink now, and we want to keep it rolling and rocking and, you know, moving. We want more landowners and more land seekers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the beauty of the program is it can, in large part, run itself, right? Because it's a database. It's not funding beholden to funding, it can operate on its own. And so we designed it for that distinct reason, is that we wanted it to be a
sustainable
service and a sustainable service to the community, all communities across Alaska.
All right. Yeah. So check it out. How are we doing on time?
I think that's about, we're right there, I think.
Okay, perfect. Well, Margaret, thank you so much for coming in this morning and talking about FarmLink. Any last words?
No, we look forward to working with you and can't wait to build more farms in Alaska.
All right. Yeah.
And thank you, Margaret Adsett, and thank you, Amy Pettit from Alaska Farmland Trust for this version of
Ag Matters.
Ag Matters.
Pun intended. Thanks.
Have a great day.
You too.